174.
As soon as I was driving over this afternoon with Ray and Libby, and we came through Penn Shop and coming through there, and I told her, because you know, Randolph County is a beautiful county. And she said, it is. So you just look and see how many beautiful home sites that you see beside the road. It is, isn't it? When you think about it, and sometimes if you live here, you don't even realize how beautiful it is. We live in a wonderful world. God has blessed us in so many ways. And I hope that we're taking time in our lives to tell Him thank you. And praise His name and bless Him for what He's done for us. You know, there's an old saying one time that sometimes people are like hogs eating acorns. But I look up to see where they're coming from. Well, I believe you're different. I believe you look up. I believe you know where they're coming from because we have been blessed and we have so many things that have been given us in this life that there's no way we can say we deserve it. But you know what, friends? This old world's going to pass away. It's not going to stay here. And like Ray just read the song, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then. But you know what the sad part of this is? People dying and not ready to go. Jesus was straight at the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life and few that be that find it. But wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. That's sad to think about it. People living and dying. People even knowing about God. And not caring and not stopping to take time to worship Him. Tonight as we talk about this, I hope and it's my prayer, my desire that when you leave tonight, that you will think more about preparation. You think more about what God is doing for you. Think more about the next life that is to come. Because friends, there's only one thing that you and I have complete control over. And what is that? Only one thing. Nothing at all. Nothing else that you completely control. But you do control and I control where I will spend eternity. And that's the only thing we have complete control over. It's in your hands. In your hands, in your power, in your might, to decide where you will be for eternity. It's hard to imagine eternity. It just boggles my mind. It's a good word. I don't know if boggles is a word, but whatever it does to my mind, it just overwhelms me. I remember singing when I was a child, the song I Live On, and what it says about when my body is slumming in the cold, cold clay. And why that stuck with me, I don't really know. But those words are cold, cold clay. And the song says, I live on. And friends, you will live on. This is not the end. This is not it. This is only a small, very small part of your total existence. And it is, of course, a time of preparation. We're not going to stay here. Even though how much you love Randolph County, wherever you may be living, how beautiful it is, we're not going to stay. We will move on. And where we spend eternity will depend on what we're doing now in our lives. What's that old saying, what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? What on earth are we doing for heaven's sake? You say, well, you know, think that's why I'm here tonight. Because I want to get ready for that next life. Because I know it's coming. And I want to prepare, and I want all help for us to prepare also, don't we? You know the story of the rich man and Lazarus? You remember what his first request was? That Lazarus took his finger and water and cooled his tongue. He was told it could not be, and then he said the next request, he said, send Lazarus back. He said, I have five brethren. Tell them so they won't come this close to torment. And I thought so much about that scripture. If I was in there, when my life is over, in torment, And he could remember. He could still think. He could still see. He could still know. And to know that you had members of your family, you knew how they were living when you died, and you knew they were coming down soon to be with you in that awful place. You know, we've heard the old saying, misery loves company. Well, you can rest assured if you're there, you won't love company. You won't want anybody to be there with you, no matter your worst enemy. And so I want to urge you tonight, as we study with you about this world passing away, to prepare for the next life. Things in this life come and go. You can go to about any town and you can see what we call a nursing home or a rest home, maybe. And you see people there at the one time like you and I, they're able to be up and about and take care of themselves. And that's no longer the case. They're there now, depending in many ways, sometimes completely on other people to take care of them. At one time they were healthy, at one time they were happy, at one time they worked, one time they had all this good health. But now that good health is gone. The days of prosperity. The days when they didn't have too much. They kind of come and go in life. Life is kind of that way. Good days and bad days. The things as we build in this life and as we have things down here, we must remember that all this will sometimes crumble into decay. It will pass away. I remember a brother telling me one time about what he told his wife. He said she was making a quilt. He said she was taking that needle and every stitch just had to be perfect. And he said, I told her, he's kind of a joke anyway. He said, I told her, he said, why are you taking so much pain for that? It's all going to burn up someday. But you know, sometimes we do things like that. We're very meticulous with what we're doing. We try to do a real good job with it. But you know, when you think about things like that, it will someday decay. It will someday pass away. It will someday burn up. It someday will be gone. The friends, our soul shall live on. This world passes away. In 2 Peter 3, in verse 10, he says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, you've heard these stories before about what the Bible says about there should be wars and rumors of wars. It's not talking about the end of time. In fact, Jesus Christ, he said, I don't even know that will be. Only God knows. He's talking about Jerusalem being destroyed. What he's talking about there, about that. But this he's talking about here, the end of time. There will be no warning. There will be no earthquakes or pestilences or things like this to warn us about the end of time is coming. It will happen suddenly, it will happen quickly, and it will be over. It becomes a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Yes, that quilt that lady was making. That house that you may be building, or you have already built. That car you're driving. The clothes you're wearing. The beaches you're sitting on. The building we're in, it shall all be gone. It shall all be gone. It shall be burned up. The work to the very end. Yet in that day of dark despair, there shines a great knowledge. There shines a great light for all of us from God. That we are created in the image of God. And God has something better in store for us than what we have and what we may have. What we had and what we may have in this life. There's a better place than this. Yes, there's a better place. All these things we suffer now, all these things we go through now, all these things we endure now, will all pass away. The hard days, the hard times, the sorrows, the crying. There is life after this world. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Our body, my friends, is made from dust. That's right. It's made from dust. And it shall go back to dust. It shall decay. And no matter how much you take care of your body, no matter how much you groom it, no matter how much you do to look good, in fact, I read one day where it said a woman may have up to 17 different types of makeup that she might wear in the morning. That's quite a few. But no matter how much you take care of your body, no matter how many things you do to look good, your body someday will go back to death. It will decay. It will not last, no matter what you do. I mean, I think when I was a child, these doctors that lived in a small town that I was raised and grew up in, and I don't know where I got this idea, but somewhere in my mind, you know, I just thought doctors could cure anything. I don't know why I thought that, but I just remember thinking, you know, just, you know, go to the doctor. He can take care of it. But you know, if you go old and by and by these doctors begin to die, and some, one or two of them died suddenly. At a young age. And then, of course, you realize as you grow older that no matter who they are, they can't cure it. I remember a man telling me one time, he was a druggist. In fact, he said, you know, Wilbur says, a lot of doctors are just trial and error. So that's why they say, take this. You're not doing good, come back in 2 weeks. He said, what are you saying to you? He says, I don't really know what's wrong with you. He said, sure, you can fix a broken leg. They know how to do that. They don't know how to do many things. He said, but sometimes they don't know. And that is so true, isn't it? But the great physician, he knows it all. He can take care of all of our hurts, all of our wants, all of our desires. And look at the 12th chapter. It tells a story here about a man. The woman looked on all he had. And says, we may well be in this situation sometimes in our life. Because sometimes we may look and see the things we have and things we possess. In Luke 7:15 it says, take heed and beware. Beware of what? Beware of covetousness. For man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. So he warns us here about possessing things and your life is not made up in that. And he spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now you look at this land up here in Randolph County. And we came by today, we saw a beautiful patch of corn up the road here. You know, I've heard it described as even being black. Of course, it's not black. It's just so green, so dark green. And you see so much rich soil that we have. You just see them. And you go down through places like Mississippi and Louisiana over there, and those flat lands over there, and you just see, I've seen corn over there too, just like here. You see, it's just so thick. You know, you used to be paying corn kind of thin, but them saying thick now, and they know how to grow it. And we see so many things that are plentiful in our world today. And this rich man had this. And he thought within himself, saying, what should I do? Because I have no room here to bestow my food. And he said, this is what I do. I will tear down my barns and build there. And there will I bestow all my food and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, what would you say he was? If somebody came to you one day and they told you this exact story, and they told you, said, let me tell you what, brother, what I've had to do. I've got so many things, and my ground is so rich, that I've had to tear down my barns to build other barns. Because I didn't have room to put up my old barns. And I've got so much laid up that I don't have to work anymore. And I said to myself, I can just take it easy, I can relax and enjoy what I've worked for all these years. What would you say to him or her? You might say they're successful, wouldn't you? You might say, well, good, I'm glad to know it. You've worked hard for it. You deserve it. You may even say that too. And sometimes we feel that way. We feel that we ourselves deserve something. You say, I've worked hard for this. You may have even said that. I've worked real hard for this, and I deserve it. But what did God call him? God said to him, thou fool. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee, and whom shall those things be which thou hast provided? Can you imagine that? God to call you a fool? Let's stop a minute. What would God call me? You know, that's a troubling thought, isn't it? That's a soul-searching thought. What would God call me? Would God call me a fool? Would God call me a fool? He would if I did the same as this man. I believe that's what we get from this story. I do. God says, thou fool, this life thou shalt be required to do, and then he says, these things be thou hast provided. Look at verse 21. So is he that left a treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, friends, you may have lots of money in the bank of Roanoke or the bank of Weedow or wherever you may have your money. You may have lots of money in stocks and bonds. But how rich are you toward God? Because, my friends, there is life after death. And that money you have in the bank, wherever, will be destroyed. It doesn't matter how good the vault is. It doesn't matter how safe it might be. It doesn't matter what the story says. The bank is that size that no one has ever lost a dime in this institution. Doesn't matter about that. It will be gone. It will not be there. This man really typifies the multitude of people today who live for this life only and seem to take no thought for the next life. The Apostle Paul had much in the way of material possessions in this life, but he turned his back on all that and he said, what things were gained to me, those have I counted lost to Christ. Yea, then, and I have count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them that dung. Can you imagine that? If you could look on everything you got and lose everything you got and say it's all waste, it's all no good, because I lost it, and now I have found the Lord. I have found Jesus Christ. I have lost it all. I have left it all. I've turned it all away. And do you see the importance of this? You know, we get caught up in the rat race of this life. And Lee's a young man. He doesn't know about the rat race yet. But as he grows older, he gets out in the world that we live in today, he will see the hustle and the bustle and the hurry and the worry that goes on in this world of ours as it stays like it is. We're all in the fast lane, seems like many times. We're all going somewhere, but where are we going so fast? The world passes away. We need to think and realize that the really worthwhile things transcend this life. Or beyond this life we live in now. We look not the things which are seen, Paul says, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. Temporary. That's what they are. You say, well, this building, it's a permanent structure. It might be what we call a permanent structure, but it's really a temporary structure. That's right. That's what it is. This old body we're living in now, it's not permanent. It's just temporary. We're just here in this old body for a little while. After death comes the judgment. Things will all face judgment. No matter who we are, and all will be there from all walks of life of every generation. Heard a song about that one time. And that's what we use that song. From every generation, we shall all be there. The passing of the rays for the world portrays this life. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 13 that we're sojourners and pilgrims on this earth. We're only passing through. And life, my friend, is like a river. It's just like a river. It just keeps on flowing to its final destination. And that's what my life and your life is too. It's described as a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. The writer of Hebrews says, it is appointed unto men once to die and after this is judgment. Friends, you will not miss that appointment. Now, you may have appointments in life and you may not show up for those appointments. But that's one appointment. Judgment, that you will be there. You will be at judgment. The wise man Solomon talked about what his life was about. And it was about a lot. He had it all, as we might say he did. And we might talk about people having it all. But he said, In the conclusion of the whole matter, let me tell you about the whole sum of my life. Fear God and keep His commandments. But that's the whole duty of man. He said, for God to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing there. Is that not frightening? Perhaps it's not frightening. Perhaps you have no secrets that are hidden that you wouldn't want to be exposed. You know, I heard Brother Donald one night over at the band, I believe it was. Don had a real excellent lesson. And Don brought up a point that I'd never thought about. And he talked about David. And David didn't recognize his sin when he was approached by Nathan, you know. He didn't recognize himself. And Don went on to say that night, if I might use this, Don. Don went on to say that night, he says, you know, you ain't going to recognize myself, because there was a spiritual x-ray made. And they was portrayed here on the board for everybody to see. They wouldn't know ourselves as we saw all the thoughts and what we did in this day, I think he said. And Don went on to say, we might want to go in the back room and do it first before everybody saw it. As this x-ray, as this story is told about our life and everybody to see it. Then someday it will be told. There will be nothing discovered that shall not be uncovered. Nothing here that shall not be known. And no matter if you hide it from the world today, you may hide it from whoever in this world. But things that shall someday be known. And that's why he says, whether it's good or bad, it shall be exposed in that day. Fear God and keep His commandments. We shall all be manifest for the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Give an account. You know, I remember back when I was with the house down there, you had these people come down, auditors. And they would come, I can't say they'd come unannounced, I don't remember that. But anyway, they would come. And they would go through so many things, procedures and books and all these things we would do. It was almost like they were looking for something wrong. And you know what they usually would find? Somewhere you didn't do some practice exactly by the book. And they'll let you know. You know, here's something here you're not doing just like it should be done. And we had to give an account of ourselves to them. I mean, it wasn't no, you know, what do you say, son? Listen to what they got to say. This is the way you went there. If you don't, you know, you can find another job. You know, that's just that plain and simple. But you know what? I'm going to do it like they want it done. That's okay. Now, can you imagine giving your account of your life someday to God? Can you imagine someday to give an account of the life you lived down here? You think, would you want it to be tonight? Would it be okay? Let me ask you this. How many of us do you think tonight would be saved? And we know that some here will be. Oh, we know. Absolutely know. There's some here. It's not for the age of accountability. And we know they'd be saved. But how many of us grown-ups would be? Half? Three-quarters? All of us? The judgment. Judgment is sure to come. We can all hide from God. I believe trying to. Jonah did. Elijah did. In their own way. But we can't hide from God. They cannot. We cannot. But Christ came that we have no need to hide. Christ came that we may be saved from our sins. He says so in Matthew 1 and 21. Even though we have sin, we can have forgiveness of sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches us very plainly about that. We can have redemption through Him because it's in Jesus Christ we can be saved and be saved forever. If we walk in the light, it's His in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ comes us from all sins. 1 John 1 and 7. We walk in the light as He is in the light. Can you say that today was the day that you walked in the light? You say, yes, preacher, today I walked in the light. I walk, and I truly walk today in the light, and everything I did tonight, everything I did today, I would not mind at all if it was shown tonight on a screen. and let you see my complete day, and let you see my complete thoughts, and let you hear every word that I said, I wouldn't mind at all if it was shown here tonight. Because this day I walked in the light. What if he was told you had one day to live? I've often thought of this. And you think you could live for God one day? You think, you know, we have a, how do I say this? We have a, things we think are important, okay? What's important first? What do we do that's important? Well, breakfast is important. Lunch is important. Supper is, you know, well, I'm talking about that. What do we do today that's important? So, quickly, let me tell you what. Because I cleared my calendar for the week. Because I'm going to be at service every night. And everything else can just wait. It'll be there when I get back. So, if you had one day to live, what would you do? And what would you do? And how would you live? In fact, Hebrews says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to fall in His hands of the living God. The Lord Jesus is coming again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself that where I am, that you may be also. John 14:1-3. The things you know passed went by. He didn't come back in a generation. Peter talked about it in 2 Peter 3. Knowing this first, that they shall come in the last days, prophets walking after their own lust, and saying, there is the promise of his coming. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue their work from the beginning of creation. Summer, fall, winter, spring. He said, it keeps on going. And he's not come back. And look what he says in verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth sang out of the water and in the water, or by the world then that was overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition. And what perdition is over loss of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord for 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so saying, if he promises, you can rest assured it's going to happen. And just because you sin, you don't drop dead, does not mean you got by with it. It's an old song. God keeps a record of the life I'm living down here. He knows all about me, my sorrows, my troubles, my fears. Someday he will call me. And my friend, someday he will. Doesn't matter about Marcus what they may say. The amount of people saying he won't come, because he will come back. Friends, we cannot be willfully ignorant. We cannot willfully ignore what God has said. If God wants to destroy this world by water in the day of Noah, he will destroy it this time by fire. The day of the Lord becomes a thief in the night, we read to you earlier. In Matthew 24 it says, watch therefore, for you know not which day your Lord cometh. Therefore be you also ready, for an hour that you think not the Son of Man coming. For an hour you think not, he's coming. We don't know when it should be, my friends. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, he says, obey. He's coming back someday to take vengeance on those that will not obey. How many of us know what to do and don't do it? And we think we give these excuses. And we even tell people. There's no reason to tell me. I'm nothing. I'm just a man. That's right. That's all I am. I'm nothing. But think about what you're saying next time you say it, why you don't do this or that. The truth of the matter is, many times, friends, it's because we don't want to. That's right. If we care enough about it, we'll take time to do it. I believe that. Don't you? I'll either get up early, I'll either stay up late. I'll take time to do something if I want to do it bad enough. If I'm able to do it, I'll find time to do it. Don't you find that true in your life? The things that we make time for God, you have got to make time for God. You have got to make time for God. Please. He's not been in front of me, but let me get it to leave. We have. We've got to make time for God. We've got to realize that life is precious. Death is coming. Judgment is surely coming. Coming back in flaming fire. Who shall be punished? Going back to 2 Thessalonians 1. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I remember hearing a man describe eternity one time. He said if a bird, and I thought so much about this because he's gone on now, but when I was a child I heard this, and he said, if a bird had to move this earth, pebble by pebble, I think is what he said. Think about that. Take all the sand, okay, and a bird's got to move it grain by grain. Eternity would just be beginning. That's what he said. And the bird moved it. He got through with it. Hard to imagine that. Do you see the importance of your life? Do you see the importance of being here and studying and singing and praying and being together? This life is all a time of preparation. Hear this. Listen to this. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful of a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Have you ever taken a test and you really felt pretty good, but you really, really wasn't sure? You know, can you imagine how great it is to stand there? You stand before the Lord. Your knees have bowed. Your tongue has confessed. You can't deny anything. And He tells you this. You can almost feel it inside, can't you, when you think of it, even now. You can almost feel. Can you imagine? But you know, Paul had an assurance about his life. He did. In fact, we can have the same assurance today. We sing that old song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." In this life now, we have opportunity to prepare ourselves. This world will pass away. You know, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:14, "Therefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent." I guess I did it Sunday morning, which all of y'all didn't hear. What that woman said about, are you a Christian? She said, yeah, I've been a Christian off and on for 30 years, however. I've been a Christian off and on for 40 years. What did he say here? He says, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Work at it. Be diligent. Our lives will someday soon be over. And you know what I think? This is what I think. I think that every one of us here tonight will die before we think we will. I think so. I think I will. If you ask me, you say, Bass, you think you'll die? 2004. The month of June. You know what I'm going to tell you? No. And you know I don't know. But you don't know. My mother always told me this. How many times I don't know. The old shall die and the young may die. We don't know what we're walking around with. People say, how you doing? Think I'm okay. Feel pretty good. But you don't know. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the same thing in the body according to what he's done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and also 10. If our lives, things that we do in our body, glorify God and our Savior Jesus Christ, we will hear the welcome words and the joy of the Lord. But if not, it will be depart from me, you cursed in everlasting fire. In closing, I'll read you something I've had this for many, many years, maybe 25 years. I'm not going to read all of it. Christians believe that death is about the entire enemy that it appears to be. It sometimes appears to be the ultimate enemy to those of us who are left behind, but from a larger perspective, death is more collective viewed as a release. No doubt everyone must live a long, good life. But what if we live for thousands or millions of years on this earth? What if we could choose to live forever on this earth? Would we want to? After many millions of years on this earth, might not a terrible boredom set in so that we eventually might beg for the release of death? This earth is a wonderful and beautiful place, but whether it could satisfy in the long run the deepest desire of the human spirit seems very doubtful. But on the other hand, the world beyond death may not be so different from this life as we sometimes imagine. If we never learn to live well here, there is no guarantee that we will suddenly and magically be able to live well in eternity. If we do not cultivate a thankful, grateful, and joyful spirit here, if we do not appreciate the blessings that surround us each day, if we do not fill our minds here with the thoughts of love, of people, and of Jesus Christ, why do we suppose that we may enter in eternity a joyful, appreciative, loving spirit will somehow be forced upon us? If we're faithful in little, will we be faithful in much? The spirit we cultivate in this life is of great importance. Listen to this. Each day should be viewed as a sort of miniature eternity. Each day can be filled with excellent things, with a kind word to this person, a surprise visit, or a letter to that person, with some job well done, even though it might be small. Each day can be lived as unto God, basking in the presence, talking and walking hand in hand with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Most of us live far below this ideal, but with a little effort, a little controlled direction. And I like that. Controlled direction. Of the imagination and attention, we can all be enjoying that at least part of what the Scripture calls eternal life. The best preparation for living well, then, is learning to live well now. Each day can be adventure in good living by making each day an adventure by filling it with good words, good deeds, good thoughts. We go more and more into a complete, mature Christian individuals who have no fear of death and have the hope that is far beyond it. The hope. A man was dying. His wife came to his side. And she said to him, she said, as you're so soon to face eternity, I want to hear from you for the last time on what do you base your hope? And the man simply said, the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, my friend, he had no hope anymore in doctors or nurses. His life was almost over. This is a true story. The blood of Jesus Christ is what he was counting on. My friends, you can count on that. You and I. That's what I'm depending on, aren't you? I'm counting on that. Completely depending upon that. If you've been washed in the blood, you can be tonight. You can be born again. Oh, what a wonderful thought. Born again. Your sins can be washed away. Jesus made it simple. He made it easy. He made it plain. And it has not changed. It still applies today as it applied back on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. The cry was made by Peter that day. And about 3,000 souls that day. About 3,000 souls that day responded to that call, to that sermon that Peter preached. Tonight you can do that too. You can come tonight believing in Jesus Christ and saying publicly you believe that He is God's Son. Repenting of your sins, and you can be buried in baptism tonight for the forgiveness of all your past sins. And the heavy load of sin you carry even now will be lifted. You'll be gone. And you will be forgiven. Yes, like the man said, that's what I base my hope. You know, friends, when I come to call that time in my life that we call the river of death, I want to be ready, don't you? That's right. Like a brother said, as he was about to cross it, and you know what he said? I'm going with a smile on my face to the cliff of Moab to death. I'm going with a smile on my face. He said, well, that's where I'm going to go. I don't want to fear. I don't want to be afraid. He says, we don't have to fear. We can be ready. It's up to you. It's up to you. This life is a life of preparation. Please come tonight to be baptized with you. How, or remember, you've done wrong. Please come back and confess all. We'll pray with you in Christ. We're going to sit you anyway. Won't you come to be standing as we sing?